Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We come to give you glory and honor. It all belongs to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for this day. Hallelujah. Another day that we've seen, and as my former pastor always says, this is a historical day, a day that we have never seen and that we will never see again. Hallelujah. Honey, how are you this morning?
Hey, man, I'm just so blessed to be a part of this day, the day that the Lord has made. As we look out, even though the sun doesn't seem to be shining, because of the clouds that are above us, but we know the sun is there. And just like Jesus in our lives, the Son of God, who is the very God, though the skies may be gray, but he's alive and shining bright in us, and I'm just rejoicing in the God of my salvation this morning.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I am excited, as always, for the guests that we have coming on today that have a tremendous testimony for the Lord. And we want to say, don't think that your testimony is too small to come on and give God the praise. If we don't do anything but say, I thank the Lord for waking me up this morning, if you have any praise for the Lord, don't let the rocks cry out for you. We want you to give God the glory. But if you have chosen, you want to give God the praise and the glory, give your testimony, but you're a little shy and you don't want to be on the broadcast, send your testimonies to email theyovercame2013@gmail.com. Again, theyovercame, the number 2013@gmail.com. We also want to give honor to Evangelist Adrian Bernard, who is the host of New Destiny Ministries, whose umbrella that we are under, and she broadcasts every day on this same number, 1 o'clock Pacific time, which she's in Chicago. I mean, she's in California. 3 o'clock Central time, and 4 o'clock Eastern time. And that's where we are in the Carolinas, and we just thank God for her. We thank God for her opening up this opportunity for us to give testimonies, to hear testimonies, and let everyone know what God is doing. We still have a God that is still blessing. He's still delivering. He's still healing. He's still raising the dead. Hallelujah. And we have had testimonies to that very fact. So we just thank God for her. And before we get started, I'm going to ask, honey, if you would start us with prayer.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We magnify your name because, Lord God, you are great. You are great in our lives. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are faithful. You have been faithful, and you remain and shall always be faithful. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for love. We thank you for peace. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you, Lord God, even for just waking this morning in our right mind, able to use our limbs, our hands, our feet, Lord God, able to see it. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you have done for us. We know that it all comes from you, Lord God. You are our source. You are our everything, our all in all. And we just worship you. We magnify you. In the name of Jesus this day, Lord God, we present ourselves to you humbly, Lord God, standing in need of your touch, standing in need of your direction, standing in need of your hand being on us. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us, so that we know that your hand is on us, that we are under your wings, that we are under your care. And Father, right now, this broadcast, as it goes forth, we just pray, Lord God, that your will be done, that words will be spoken that are under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that will minister to those in need, Lord God. Bring words of healing, words of encouragement, words of life, hallelujah, words of salvation. In the name of Jesus, let your word go forth and let it not come back void. In the name of Jesus, bless those whose relationships need healing, whose bodies need healing, whose minds need healing. Lord God, deliver from addictions. Deliver, Lord God, from evil thoughts, hallelujah, and detrimental thoughts. Deliver, Lord God, hallelujah, from loneliness, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, from despair. For we know, Lord God, that you are able to bring us out. And, Lord God, let your words go forth today and do just that. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this broadcast, the guests that will be on today, those who will be listening in, let their ears and their spirits be blessed. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And, yes, we're here to encourage. We're here to uplift. We just want everyone to know that our God is still in the God business. He's still doing his God thing, and we're just so happy and so elated. We also want to tell you to save the date, September 6th and 7th. All roads lead to the Carolinas. We are having a crusade sponsored by New Destiny Ministries, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard, and we are just so excited that she has chosen, the Lord gave her a charge, and she's chosen North Carolina to kick off her crusades, and we're excited about it. We're excited about it. We don't have a place secured at this time, but keep tuned, and we will let you know. Also, if you are not a friend of mine on Facebook, you can look me up, Billy Burns, on Facebook, and request to be my friend. Give me a little message and let me know that you're from the broadcast, and we will accept you into as our friend. We also have created a page, and it's They Overcame, and we want you to join that community also to hear news. And if you have a prayer request, you can put your prayer request on there. If you have a testimony, you can leave your testimony on there also, and we will read it over the air. We prefer for you to give the testimony yourself, because we love to hear, you know, what God is doing for you. But if you choose not to do it that way, then you can always leave your testimony either at the email or on Facebook, and we'll get to it. Well, I'm excited, honey. I'm excited. This young lady, I know her from back home in Chicago, and she was growing up when I was around her, and now she's a grown woman and doing things for the Lord. She's written a book, and she is just, we're friends on Facebook, and I've been looking at the different posts that she puts on there, always encouraging and always uplifting, always pointing to God and the things that he's doing in her life. And then our second guest is none other than her mom, Pastor Patricia Holliday. Tierra Holliday is our first guest, and then her mom, Patricia, Pastor Patricia Holliday, is our second guest. So we're just excited for those two women to be on. And Tierra has been on for a while now, holding on even before we opened up the lines, and we're going to bring her on right now. Sister, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Hey. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I saw your post that you had on with your sisters, and you, but you didn't distinguish who was doing what. Which one are you? I guess the prophetess.
Well, yes, I am. That happens to be an area that all three of us flow in, but I just flow in it a little heavier than the other two. Kind of strange, but yeah.
Amen, amen, amen. And that is so awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. I was telling the listeners that I remember you when you are you with Chris? You guys are around the same age, right?
Yes, ma'am. I talk to him at least 3 days a week now.
Okay, okay. Amen. Encouraging. So, yeah, I remember. So, we've been gone. Wow. We've been gone from Chicago for going on 13 years this year. Next month we've been gone 13 years. So you were still a young teenager, just mm-hmm. getting into your teenage years when we left Chicago. And since then, your mom and dad have founded a ministry and are pastoring, and God is just doing great things.
Yes, he is. He's definitely in the blessing business.
Yes, he is. Well, now, before you give us your whole testimony, tell us a little bit about Miss Tierra Holliday. Tell us about your family, what you do in the ministry. I know that you have a ministry, and I didn't catch it last night, but you said it was geared for singles. So I said, well, maybe I don't need to listen to that one, but just tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Well, I'm 26, going on 27, June 18th. The people I have to acknowledge first are my children. They're very dear to my heart. My son just turned 2 in April. My daughter will be 9 in May, so keep me uplifted in your prayers. But my parents, they're my backbone. They're my pastors. I can talk to them about any and everything. They started pastoring about 14 years ago, but ever since I can remember, I was born in PK. My father was honored there, and ever since I can remember, for just about any and everybody that you named. And my sisters, my older sister, she's married now in California. Her husband's in the Navy, and she's the one with the master's degree. And my youngest sister is actually graduating with her associates in December, and she just turned 21, so we're really excited for that. But myself, I was filled with the Holy Ghost at a very young age, at the age of 4. And I remember that day like the back of my hand. I remember even the car ride home, I was still speaking in tongues, and my older sister told my mom, you know, can you tell Tierra to shut up? And I just couldn't. It's something that I just couldn't let go of. At the age of 11, God came to me in a dream and showed me myself preaching. And at the age of 12, I preached my first message, I want to say like a week before my 13th birthday. And I've been preaching ever since, and it's just been something that God has grown on the inside of me that I have a love for, that I have a passion for. And I want to say, ever since I can remember, probably to age 5 or 6, I started laying hands, and I started seeing things, and I started having dreams, and I could see things in people, and I could start hearing thoughts. So I was called a strange kid, but nevertheless, God has never taken his hands off of me in spite of me trying to step out of his will and trying to do things my own way. He's just always been there. And I'm CNA. I'm a farm tech. I'm pursuing my education right now. When I say just nursing, people say, what do you mean just a nurse? That's something big. But I want to be a psychiatrist. I want to help people on a even different level and let my gift of healing come out on the natural side as well. So that's just a little synopsis of me right now.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I just remember you guys, the three of you running around the church and the boys running around the church. And I never had to fuss at you all. So. So this is a blessing. And your dad, I remember Bishop used to call on him, Bishop William Lewis, Ellis, Lord have mercy, would call on him for the scripture in Chronicles. The bishop could never remember the scripture. So your dad would have to say, believe on the Lord, on the Lord, and so shall you be established, believe his prophet, and so shall you be blessed. And Bishop could never remember that scripture. It's so funny. And your dad, I don't care where your dad would be in the sanctuary, he'd be near the front, but I don't care where he was, he'd call on him. What's that scripture? Oh my goodness. I love your mom and dad. I just, you know, was so blessed. He served with my husband as Bishop's armor bearer and was always able to go to him and, you know, get good counsel from him. So I'm sure that has rubbed off on his girls. So God is just good, and God is still in the healing business. I know that I'm going to let you give your testimony. I know that I see where you have gone through some health struggles. And
yes,
I definitely want you to talk about, you know, about that and what God has done for you. And I know that you saw the post that I put on Facebook about, can we still give God praise and glory and serve God even when we have go through difficulties in our lives? And from your Facebook page, I see that you are one that is still giving God the glory even though you have struggles in your body, and we all struggle with something, you know. So just give us touch. I'm going to let you loose, and you give your testimony. And also tell us about, I did note in there that you had, you're writing a book, or you've written a book.
I'm actually in the midst of writing 3 books right now. One of them will be out as a birthday gift to myself on June 18th. That's, it's entitled Oracles of Humanity. It's a poetry, poetic story.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. We can express ourselves in so many ways. And thank you for allowing God to use you to do that. I have a goddaughter that has written poetry, and she won't step out and publish those things. But we know that that those things come from God. Even when we're going through our struggles, and maybe we write down our struggles, we know that we have victory through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So, here, go ahead and give us your testimony.
Okay. I struggled with this because I didn't know where to start from. So, I figured what better place than to start from the beginning, because if I started from there, I would just wouldn't grasp exactly everything that I have been through, and I can't even touch on everything that I have been through, but ever since I can remember as a young child, like I said, I was filled with the Holy Ghost at the age of 4, but also at the age of 4, I experienced some things that kids my age shouldn't have to experience, and I was molested by male cousins, and I was once like a really bubbly child and very sweet and very nice and, you know, just wanting to make everybody laugh, but that caused me to crawl into myself, and it ended up being repeated by female cousins in my family. And now when that happened to me, I told my parents, so, you know, it ceased, but just recently this year, I didn't tell my parents about the female side of it as well. So that was something that I had to deal with on the inside of me growing up. When you harbor something like that on the inside of you, it begins to fester and it begins to manifest in different ways. And oftentimes we fail to realize that our past has an effect on our present and on our future if we don't reveal it. So jumping ahead to several years in eighth grade, that's when I started having struggles in my body. And at one point, the doctors didn't know what it was. I was just in excruciating pain. They thought I had kidney disease. And come to find out, I didn't have kidney disease. But on one of the ultrasounds, my kidney had literally twisted itself and wrapped up in itself. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I thought for sure that I was going to die. Like, I'm a little girl. I'm being taken out of school. I can't sleep in my bed. I only can sleep on my right side. I can't eat anything with it. Acidic acid in it, and I'm just laying there wondering, like, God, what's going on? I'm a baby. I'm only 13 years old, and I remember my mother praying for me, and my mother has been flowing in healing and deliverance before I was even born, and when she prayed for me, I just felt no more pain, and when we went to the doctors, the x-rays were clear. Well, you know, your kidney somehow untwisted itself. And we don't know how, and I knew how. It was nothing but the grace of God working through the hands and the workmanship of my mom. And it was just like from then on, just different things started coming my way. And if you aren't careful, you will begin to fall susceptible to the tricks of the enemy, and you will become your own worst enemy. At the age of 15, I lost my virginity at a very young age, at the age of 15. And that's when I knew, like, I'm not doing right. I'm not living how God wants me to live. I'm a minister. You know, I shouldn't be doing this. And it caused me to go into a deep depression. I've never been a small child, so to speak. So when I went from 130 pounds to 103 pounds within a matter of 1 week, my parents automatically knew something is wrong. Something's not right, because they were in tune with me. And even before then, my father is very attached to his girls. So he would have talks with us, you know, about our virginity and about guys and everything. So when I lost my virginity, my dad came to me and asked me, is everything still intact? His exact words. I remember the day like the back of my hand. And I lied to my father. And one thing I've always prided myself on was being honest. If I'm going to live a certain way, I'm going to be honest about it. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to be honest about it. So I lied to my father, but 2 days later, I had to go to him and I had to tell him, because I knew he knew anyway. So what was the point of me hiding it? And my parents didn't, you know, jump down my throat. Of course, they were disappointed. They cried, but they didn't beat me upside my head or anything like that. So that was one thing I was always grateful for. And at the age of 16, I was doing bad in school. I was cutting classes. I was fighting. Anything that you can imagine I was doing other than drugs and alcohol. But I was really weighing then on my parents' patience. You know, I was doing everything that they taught me not to do. Everything that they instilled down on the inside of me, I ignored. The conviction, the voice of God, I just ignored it. I just decided I'm just going to do what Sierra wants to do.
Mm.
But at the age of 16, I was in and out of summer school because one thing my parents said is, you're going to graduate high school. No ifs, ands, buts, or doubt it. If you have to pay me back for these summer school classes when you get grown, you're going to graduate high school. So at the age of 16, I was at one, you know, my summer school class, and I had entered into a relationship sexually that I know I should not have been in, but it was something inside of me that just wanted vengeance and that just wanted revenge because of this person who hurt me, and I ended up being raped by the guy. And after that, I continued to sleep with him out of fear, and I felt like, well, I couldn't tell anyone because I was sleeping with him. In my mind, I know that this isn't right, but I felt like, who's going to believe me? Knowing that if I went to my parents, they would believe me because I'm their child. But it was just something that I couldn't talk about. It was just something that I couldn't believe that was happening. So that caused me to just be depressed, and I just got quieter and quieter. And it was just something that, you know, I didn't know how to deal with right away. And at the age of 17, the guy who I was dating all through high school, the guy who I lost my virginity to, second day of senior year, I end up getting pregnant. And I did not know what to do. The first thing that crossed my mind is, my daddy's going to kill me. I didn't think about mama, didn't think about grandma, didn't think about the church people, because, you know, growing up in church, and in itself, there's so much expectation put on you that we should live up to because the standard is holiness, and we should never let God down. And I was just thinking about my daddy. You know, I'm a daddy's girl, football games, the basketball games. I'm like a tomboy in heels, and I just kept thinking about my daddy and how hurt and how crushed he was going to be. So I decided, you know, smart me, well, we got church Sunday morning, so I'm going to tell them at the church. And we at home, being this could go any type of way, but 15 minutes before service starts, yep, I'm going to pull my older sister in the bathroom, tell her, and then I'm going to tell my dad and my mom. But before I even got to tell them, I told the guy, and he asked me how much an abortion costs. And right then and there, something in my spirit broke. Because I'm like, we're young, but I'm not killing my baby. Like, regardless of the act of fornication being sin, God gives life, and I'm not the one to take that away. So right then and there, I'm still in high school, so I go back to school, and this rumor started. You know, Sierra doesn't know who her baby's father is, and all of this stuff that high school kids do. And it had an effect on me that's like, oh, my God, you know, my reputation is already at stake because I'm young and I'm pregnant. But now it's being said that I don't know who my child's father is. And this is someone I lost my virginity to. This is someone who I dated all throughout high school, off and on. This is someone who's supposed to be my best friend. I know him inside out and vice versa, but I'm going through this. And something on the inside of me said, you are always your own worst enemy. And ever since then, that's been something that I clung dear to because it's the truth. When I told my parents, my mom automatically went into protection mode because she had my sister very young, which you guys are going to hear when she comes on next. But during my pregnancy, I ended up being on bed rest at 6 months of conception. And I went into preterm labor with my daughter 3 times. They had to give me a pill, they had to put something on my cervix, and they had to give me a shot. I was not in school majority of my senior year. And it was something, like I was just cooped up in the house, and I was alone with my thoughts. And right then and there, I knew, you have to grow up. You're only 17, but now you're going to be somebody's mother. So a lot of people say, well, you know, you're old for your age. I was a mother at 17. So I just knew right then and there, you know, something has to change because now you're responsible for somebody else's life other than your own. My daughter made it full time. Thanks be to God. She could have been gone. But as soon as I gave birth to her, I got a fever of 104. I wasn't even the first one to hold her. My father was because I was shaking. And I felt death. I smelled death. And my parents went into warfare in the labor and delivery room. People probably thought they were crazy. Because you know how us church folk are. We are going to get loud where we're at. And all I could remember myself doing was crying and saying, God, you're going to let me have this child and you're going to kill me. I felt death. I just thought that this is it. He's going to take me out. And I haven't even held my baby, you know. And that was just something that was just like, oh, my God. But then I remember God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. So I just began to pray.
Yes.
And my temperature began to regulate, and the shaking started to stop. And the tears of fear became tears of joy because I'm like, he has never left me alone. And I, my daughter, that's my heart. From then on, it was just like, I have to get back in the face of God. You know, I have to, I'm somebody's mom. I have to do this. So I got my pharmacist technician license, been working since the age of 19. I started to go to college, but my grandfather died around my finals, and it was just like I couldn't. So I've just been working two jobs, three jobs, full-time jobs. I'm trying to work. I work 60 hours a week. But I want to say from like the age of 21 to the age of 23, that's when I began to teeter-totter, and I was just living any type of way. I wasn't going to church regularly because I was the type of person, if I'm going to be out in the street, I'm not about to be in a pulpit regularly. I'm not getting up on Sunday morning singing praise and worship. No, I'm not about to teach Bible class. No, I'm not about to preach on Sunday morning. And my parents are pastors. And so I would call them often and be like, I'm not coming to church today. And they're like, well, why? Well, I don't feel good. Or I got home from work late because I was out clubbing, drinking, dancing all hours of the night, you know, being with different men. And it was just, I was at a lost state. But one thing that I have never failed to hear was the voice of God, because he has always convicted me. And that's one thing that I hold dear to, because conviction is very strong. And when you lose that conviction, you're as good as dead. When you stop hearing the voice of God, then that's when you should be very fearful. But the fact that God never took his hands off of my life, when I tell you that I could be dead and gone, I could have killed somebody driving home drunk numerous of nights. I could have ended up in somebody's alley. You know, and just by the grace of God, I'm still here. And I know that it's nothing but his love and kindness that he's had for me. I woke up safe, unharmed, every morning. Brand new mercies, literally every morning. And that's just something that I really can never forget, is in spite of myself. Because we commit spiritual suicide every time we decide to step out of the will of God. And I know firsthand that God is a gentleman, and he is not going to force himself on anybody. But he also chased those who he loved. And to just know that God loved me even when I did not love myself, for me, that's just enough for me to give him praise no matter where I'm at, no matter who's around, no matter what I've done, to know that God loved me, little old me, just enough to breathe his very ruach on the inside of me day in and day out, just to know that he called me and that he chose me and that he commissioned me, and to know that God is a redeemer and that he's a restorer, of the confused mind. I tried to kill myself at the age of 15 when I was going through depression. They put me on Zoloft. They said I was bipolar. And I'm like, God, I'm not bipolar. I'm just a teenager dealing with conviction. Like, this is what safe folk go through. You do something stupid, you're convicted for it. So I took the medicine, and I was just like, you know what? I was in a praise and worship at Apostolic Church of Austin, Pastor David C.K. Church. And I just figured, you know what? If I'm going to die, I might as well die in the presence of God, you know? So I tried to take my own life, but God kept his hand on me. If anybody else would have taken that amount of medicine, they could be dead. They would have been dead. And the only thing that happened was I fell asleep for about 30 minutes, and I got back up like, oh, my God, I'm still here. Never again. You can't play with fire and expect not to get burned. But it's just by the grace of God that he kept me. And in 2010, I ended up getting engaged to my son's father. A lot of people are not going to like me after this, but that's quite fine because I don't have many fans anyway. But he's someone who I grew up in church with. Parents are very well known in the PAW. So it was somebody that, you know, I trusted. And I was just like, okay, you know, this could work. It was my first, quote-unquote, church guy that I dated. I was trying something new. You know, I'm like, yeah, I've dated guys out in the street, basketball players, rappers, you know. I never dated anybody who I felt like was, like, beneath me and couldn't do for me what my daddy did for me. That was one thing he always taught us. If you're going to date a man, make sure that he can treat you how I treat you. And so on the flip side of things, I never fulfilled that in totality. I only fulfilled it monetarily or with the affection, but never on the spiritual side. So this time I was just like, you know, this guy, you know, he has the Holy Ghost. He has some of the same gifts that I do. His parents are pastors. You know, maybe this could work. And he ended up moving into my house. And that's the one thing I always said I will never do is shack up. But he came to me with a sob story. My parents kicked me out, and I don't have anywhere to go. And, you know, just all of these now knowing lies. So I let him sleep on my sofa. Didn't touch him, you know, whatever. But it was something that bothered me because I'm like, I have a daughter. You know, this isn't right. This man is in my house, but the sofa ended up becoming the bedroom, and I ended up falling back into sin. And we were engaged on my birthday, June 18th of 2010. I'm talking a huge engagement. I'm at my birthday party. He proposes to me in front of my parents, my friends, my cousins. One of my spiritual fathers came, like, all the way from Elgin, Illinois, and I'm just like, wow. I'm getting married. No, I'm still single. He left me when I found out I was 5 weeks pregnant with our son. And during my pregnancy, I recognized the spirit of depression that was trying to sneak back up on me, that snuck up on me when I was pregnant with my daughter. So I prayed against it. And people called me crazy because in about 2 weeks' time, I was over him. Over the situation, I was living my life because I prayed to God one Sunday night. I said, God, I don't want to cry anymore. I don't want to hate this man. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be depressed. Please take this from me. I woke up that Monday morning with a smile on my face. I wasn't tempted to call him. I wasn't tempted to answer his calls. And it was just something. I was like, wow. You know, we always say God is quick. He answers prayers right away. And I knew that, but to experience that, I'm coming off of a breakup from a guy that I was engaged to, from a guy whose child I'm carrying. And I'm not crying. I'm not hurt. I'm not depressed. That was nothing but God. That 4 months pregnant, I'm back on bed rest again. my doctor pulled me off work, and I'm like, oh, no, no, I'm living by myself. You know, I have bills to pay. I already have a daughter. Now I'm pregnant again. What am I going to do? You know, I can't go back home. I'm an adult. But my parents, I get overwhelmed talking about my parents and everything they've done for me. My dad packed my house up. My mom said, you coming back home. You're our baby. We're going to take care of you. And I'm just like, wow, you know, my parents are really awesome. You know, I have parents that people will really kill for. And they took me in, and they, you know, we came back home, and during my pregnancy with my son, I was just like, I'm only 4 months pregnant. Why am I embarrassed? Like, this isn't okay. This happened last time. I can't go through this again. 4 months, I have 6 more months to go. I have 5 or 6 more months to go. And it was just something, I was just like, you know what, I'm going to just stay in my word, and I'm going to get back in my word. And during my pregnancy, I just found myself, like, in the face of God. I couldn't go to church because I was on bed rest. And I had to get induced with my son. So I remember the last service that I went to, and I just said right then and there, God, if you don't do anything else for me, you have already done enough. And I remember that service. It was just something on the inside of me that was just determined and passionate to live for God like never before. And my son is almost 2 now. And it's just something about looking at your kids, praise God without being pumped, without being primed, without being forced to. I don't have to tell my kids, sit down, be quiet, shut up, listen to the preacher, because it's something that was on the inside of me that I birthed through them. That's already innate in them. It's second nature to them. So to look at your children and see, God, your hand has been on their life from the womb. I could have lost both of my kids. And just to know that they're here, for me, that's just enough reason to say, if you don't do anything else for me, you have never failed me yet. And so that's like one thing that I just praise God for, because, you know, to be a mother and to know I'm going into preterm labor or I'm on bed rest, if I do too much, I can lose this very thing that's birthing on the inside of me. And then I begin to look at that on the spiritual aspect. I have done so much to abort the very plan that God has placed on the inside of me. I have tried to kill out and sift my own self as weak, being my own worst enemy, but nevertheless, God has never taken his hand off of me. Nevertheless, God said, not your will, Sierra, but my will be done. Because it's nations on the inside of you. It's people that you have to reach. You have messages to preach. You have foundations to open up. So no matter what you do, as long as you never fail to give me the glory, I'm going to get glory out of this. And I remember ever since we were younger, my parents always told us that they prayed one prayer, and he used to scare the dog nuts out of me. God, if you don't do anything else, if my kids start to act a fool, save them and take them up out of here. Because I'd rather lose you, knowing that you have a secure place in heaven, than to see you alive, walking around acting like a fool. And that resonated with me. It took almost 26 years. But it resonated with me. And I said, man, that's a heavy prayer to pray as a parent. Who would do something that crazy? But it makes sense. God, if you have to take them up out of here and they are saved and you have gotten the glory out of their life before they've caused a mockery of who you are, take them. And so at the state that I'm at now, last year I was fortunate, God gave me a youth ministry called WAR. It's the acronym for Willing and Ready Warriors Applying Rhema. And we had our first service last year on my son's birthday, April the 13th, and the speaker was Evangelist Rebecca Mickens. She's part of the One Way Apostolic Church. One Way Family Worship Center is what a lot of people call it. And that service was just the start of something greater on the inside of me, you know, to see young people from different churches come together and just have crazy, crazy, crazy church. It was just something, you know, that the kingdom needs. And it was something that I never thought that I would do. You know, I was okay with teaching Bible class or, you know, going to this church and preaching, you know, preaching Sunday mornings at my church. But God said, it's so much more that I have for you. And this year we're having a few more services, but also a foundation that I'm in the midst of getting paperwork together called Solo Strength. It's a foundation for single parents, not just single mothers. Because oftentimes, you know, we forget that there are single fathers out there who child's mothers aren't in their lives and who aren't around. And it's something that I see how big that is going to be on the impact of people everywhere, not just the people in Chicago. And this year I was fortunate enough to come into contact with some young ladies, Jasmine Jackson and Tiffany Tolliver. Jasmine is in Saginaw, Michigan, and Tiffany is in St. Louis. And we started our own ministry, Empowerment Prayer Warriors, and Empowerment Prayer Ministries, I'm sorry. And you can find us on Facebook. We host conference calls every Thursday, 6 p.m. Central Time. Every Friday night, I host a date night, you know, to teach different aspects of dating for people who are courting in Christ, you know, people who are living celibate, set apart, and to know that it's not a rarity. We have other saved young people who actually want to save themselves till marriage. It's just something that's incredible to me, to know that this isn't just, you know, to know that you're not alone in something. And the conference calls are dynamic. We're going to have a conference call on Saturdays as well that Tiffany is going to host, called Ladies of Valor, and she's going to be dealing with the spiritual side of it, dealing with the stories of Ruth and Esther. So that's what I'm up to now. My poetry book, Oracles of Humanity, will be out June 18th. I'm also publishing a fiction book called Double Life that will be out in December of this year. And next year I will be publishing my story, Chronicles of a Survivor, Valley, Mountaintop, and Glory. And like you were saying, I'm going through some health issues right now. I had to have emergency gallbladder removal surgery in March, and the doctors told me if you would have had this on the inside of you one more day, it would have ruptured. And it was just like, I went to the doctor for one thing, and it came out being something else. My doctor called me, you have over 5 gallstones in your gallbladder. You're going to need surgery. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's why I've been hurting. Okay, so call for the consultation on March 28th, and, you know, then we could do the surgery. But that 16th, I was supposed to be at school that Friday night. I was at my parents' house, and my hands started burning. And my feet started burning, and I'm screaming out in excruciating pain. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to school. And God told me, you don't get in the car. You cannot drive. And so I'm just like, what is going on? Something is wrong. My dad rushed me to the hospital. The lining of my gallbladder had thickened, and it got infected. And I'm just like, oh, my God, what is going on? I'm scared. I've never had surgery. And for your doctor to say, if this would have stayed in you one more day, it would have ruptured. And I'm like, here he goes, sparing my life once again. You know, and it's just amazing to me. A lot of people don't know this, but I was in, well, like everybody know I was engaged this year. And the day that I came home from my surgery, my fiance broke up with me. So it was something that I foresaw happening, but I'm like, not now. You know, I just had surgery. You know, I have other issues going on. But when I tell you I didn't cry, I didn't shed a tear, because I was just like, you know what? the counterfeit always comes before the original. And
yes.
I can't hold on to that. Because if God has spoken something into your life, it's not predicated upon someone else. If I'm doing my job like Ruth, if I'm down in the field and I'm gleaning and I'm working, you might be Boaz, but if you decide to step out of your destiny, trust and believe, it's always somebody else out there watching the dream. And that's one thing I have to hold on to because I'm like, I got too much going on, you know. No bad feelings, but okay, that's perfectly fine. But then I already knew that I had an abnormal pap smear, and this is something that I'm still trying to conceptualize. And so, you know, I went to the doctor 2 weeks after having this gallbladder removal surgery, and he took biopsies, and, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, all right. So I waited for the phone call, and my doctor told me, you have to have surgery because the cells are worse than I thought. He thought that they were stage one precancerous cells. So he told me with this surgery, for a woman who's never had preterm labor or who's never had a miscarriage before, this surgery will cause you to have preterm labor and to cause you to miscarry. Now I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't want any more kids, but seeing as if I've had preterm labor with both of my children, I'm done having kids. I didn't want any more kids, but for that to be, you know, taken away from you, that just does something else. On last week, I found out that I have stage zero cervical cancer. And so that's something that I'm still trying to conceptualize in my mind, and I'm not a very emotional person, but yesterday I kind of broke down, and I was crying over the phone with my dad, and he's rushing to his house trying to get to me, you know, my superhero, trying to get to me, and I'm just like, oh, my God, you know, I'm living all that I know how. I'm sold out for you. I'm undefiled. I'm proclaiming your name. God, why? But he said, because the things that you have been through is going to help somebody else. This sickness is not unto death. And that's just all I could hold on to, knowing that in spite of what I'm going through right now, in spite of what's to come, that the blessings and the miracle that he's getting ready to rain down on me, I'm excited. I'm really excited in my spirit, and I have a spirit of expectation. And in my house about 3 weeks ago, I went into worship because I couldn't go to church. And I'm just going in, and God began to deal with me. And he said, Tierra, you have a Job-like anointing on your life. And because of the things that you have been through, you have never failed to give me the glory. People have counted you out, and they have called you dead. And you have never failed not to curse me. But you have always said, God will get glory out of this. And because of that, I'm going to bless you in spite of everything, in spite of yourself. I'm going to rain down my goodness and my mercy. So now I'm just sitting here with my spiritual buckets, just waiting for the outpour, waiting for the overflow, and waiting for the abundance.
Yes. We had a guest on, a Pastor Odetta Miley, and she was saying that Job was considered. He was considered by God to be an upright man. And so he told the devil to consider Job because God considered him. So she said that she doesn't look at her tests and trials as a trouble. She looks at God as considering her, and he trusts her. Johnny James, I don't know if you remember him, used to always say, because you're rough enough, and because you're tough enough, God allows you to go through things because he knows that he's going to get the glory out of your life. And he has gotten the glory out of your life, Tierra. He has raised you up from the miry clay, as with all of us. Some go through things a little more than other people go through. But I am now leaning on the promises in Deuteronomy 28. I'm leaning on those promises, and you take this into yourself that the cancer is not yours. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the enemy, and he is in violation of the body of God. Yes, we must go through things, but as we go through them, let's always put it in the perspective that I don't have to accept this. This is not something that I receive. It's not mine. I say when a cold is chasing me, I don't say I'm catching a cold. I say a cold is chasing me. We speak those things, you know, turn it around on the enemy. That turn it around on him. That's just, it's just you've gone through a lot in your young age. But yes, God will use you, and such an encouragement to know that after falling, after having two children out of wedlock, God can still use you. What a testimony for God and how he is. You know, that's why we're here, so that people can hear about the God that we serve. We serve a God, like you said here, new mercies every day. Hallelujah. He gives us new mercies. And I just thank God for you. I'm not cutting you off. I just wanted to interject that God is a God of mercy. He is a God that restores. He is a God that uplifts. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even when you're doing things, even when we're doing things, because we look at sin, Tara, and say, that's a big sin, and this is just a little sin, you know, but sin is sin. And sin is sin in God's eyesight. It doesn't matter. We're the ones that put a degree to what we do. And we want to say that, you know, our sin, but being hateful, hallelujah, and you're supposed to be Christ-like, that's a sin. The Bible says to know that something's wrong and still do it, that's sin. Okay? So I just thank God and for your testimony, and tell us a little bit about, well, we had an author, we've had such awesome testimonies on the broadcast. We've had someone that was raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. We had someone, Bishop Carusis Patterson, you know, from 35th Street. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was on the broadcast, and he fell from his ceiling, from his attic, down into his bathroom, and God miraculously raised him up. Oh, we've had some awesome testimonies. We've had an author that wrote about her life, her married life, and the title of her book is Uncovered, and you can get a kind of an idea of what she was talking about, saying uncovered. But God restored her marriage and restored her back, you know, to himself like he's done you. So we just that's what we're here for. We want the world to know. We have, this is a worldwide broadcast. We go around the world. We had a call from the UK a few months ago, but this broadcast is heard around the world, so we want people to know that God is still in the delivering business, still in the blessing business, still restoring, still healing, and we're gonna. I know that your parents cover you with prayer, but we're gonna ask, honey, would you pray for me? First of all, Tara, are you finished with your testimony? Because I don't want to cut you off. I'll just,
yes, ma'am, I'm finished.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm finished.
Okay, honey, could you pray for Tara concerning the issues that she's going through now with her body?
Amen. We just thank God for just what he's doing in the life of this vessel, glorious, blessed vessel of his. And we just want to offer prayer, prayer of faith and believing, because we know that by his stripes we are healed. It's already been done. It was taken care of a long time ago, even before the foundations of the world. God knew exactly where we're going to be, what we're going to go through, and how he's going to deliver us to get the glory. And I can just remember how that I was, when I received my diagnosis of colon cancer, and could have been a devastating thing, but, you know, just the trust and the faith that I had in God just kept me calm throughout the whole thing. And I can say that now it's almost, it'll be, what's going on, it's right at 9 years now. This year it'll be 9 years of being cancer-free since God delivered me through the hands of the surgeon. They recommended the surgery, which I accepted. They also recommended things like chemo and radiation, which I refused because my mind had already been fixed that God has healed me. I will let you take out of me what's in there. But God's already done the work. And so we just thank God for that. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Tierra. We just thank you that she is available to you and available to your kingdom. And we just thank you for her ministry and her willingness to serve you. Now, Lord God, we thank you for the healing because it's already done. We thank you for the deliverance because it's already wrought. We thank you, Lord God, for the testimony because she's already giving it. In the name of Jesus, by faith, we just declare this thing is done. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, we just thank God for a young lady coming on and giving us testimony. We just are so proud of you. We're so proud of you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, listen, I thank God for you being willing to give your testimony. The Lord gave it to us because he, just like the song, my theme song, I Just Want to Praise You by Morette Brown, I love that song because that's what God desires. He desires us to praise him and to give him the glory and let people know that what he's doing in our lives. I know that being from the old school, this things are kind of different now in the church, but being from the old school, we had testimony service, and it was always just those days when we would have testimony. Well, we had testimony every Sunday, but sometimes the preacher wouldn't even have to preach. Healing would be wrought. Deliverance would be wrought. People receive joy. They receive just various things in the service just from the testimony because God was being glorified, and that's what we're supposed to do. So when we presented this to Evangelist Adrian, she was so excited because she said, yes, that's what we need. And we've had affirmation from different ministers that have been on the line that, yes, we preach and, you know, we teach, but we don't now always get to hear the manifestation of what we've done, you know, what we've talked about and the things that we, you know, taught. So thank you for coming on and giving your testimony, awesome testimony. And I know that God has great things in store for you. And give us your ministry. I know that you're a young person. Is your ministry more geared towards young people or just anybody? I know that you said you had a ministry for single, well, you're going to have a ministry for single parents, but is it? Tell us a little bit about your ministry. Who is it geared towards?
Well, my ministry in large is just geared towards everybody. When I preach, I teach, it's just geared towards everybody. But my youth ministry, WAR, that's a youth ministry, but I also, you know, I never exclude anyone from that. But the ministry that we have on Facebook right now, Empowerment Prayer Ministries, you guys could look that up on Facebook, like our page. We just started it this week. The Thursday night prayer calls are for everybody. We flow in prophecy and deliverance, and we go into worship like you in the church, and it's very heavy and very impactful. The Friday night calls are geared towards single men and single women. The call line number is 832-551-5100, and the access code is 265-447-POUND. And the Saturday night call is geared towards single women. So my ministry in totality is just for whoever is asking and inquiring about Christ at large.
Okay, give that number again.
832-551-5100, and the access code is 265-447-POUND.
Okay, and that's the number for both calls, the Thursday night and the?
Yes, it's for the Thursday night calls, the Friday night calls, and the Saturday night calls. And the Thursday and the Friday night calls take place 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and the Saturday night calls take place at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Amen, amen. This modern technology, we don't have to be in the same place, but we can minister around the world from our bedroom.
Amen.
From our bedroom, in our robe. And we don't have to get dressed to go out. I love it, I love it, I love it. But thank you, Sierra. Thank you. I'm so blessed by you. I'm so blessed by, you know, just what God is doing, and just go on in the Lord. And, you know, I know that God has great things for you, because anybody that's doing anything for him, he's going to bless. So, and keep calling your friend Chris and talking to him.
Will do.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, now we are going to bring on, and listeners, if you have any questions that you want to ask Tierra after her mom gets through Pastor Patricia Holliday, then I'm going to open up the lines. We have a number of callers on today, and I'm thanking God for that. But we have more that are listening over the internet, and you can actually hear this broadcast and the broadcast that Evangelist Bernard does anytime. You can go into the archives of New Destiny Ministry, Adrienne Bernard. Make sure you put her name down, or you have to scroll through all of them, but if you put her name down, then you'll be able to go to her broadcast, specifically New Destiny Ministries. And you can listen to this broadcast and any of the broadcasts. So we have a lot of listeners that listen over the internet. They don't call in, but they do listen. So we just thank God for you. We're going to bring your mom on right now. And my sister, are you there?
I'm here.
Amen, 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 amen. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are so good here in North Carolina. I didn't realize that you guys had started your ministry before we left.
And we started in 1999. So we were at another, we were with District Elder K for 1 year. And then after that, we felt the call for years. We knew that the call was there when we first got married. I knew that Robert had the pastoral call. And while we was at ACA, I received a pastoral call. And basically, District Elder K was grooming us. And he said, two pastors can't stay in the same house. So when Robert went to talk to him, he said, I'm glad you came to tell me, because otherwise I was going to push you out. So we were there 1 year, 1 year before we went out. So it'll be 14 years in October.
Amen. Amen. Well, we left in 2000, so you guys had left. I didn't realize that. I guess kind of the last year was a little blur because Al left before we did. And so we were, trying to get our house prepared for sale and everything. So anyway, I just thank God. I thank God for Tierra. I told her that I remember she and her sisters around the church, and I told him, I said, and I can say that I never had to fuss at you guys. They were always good girls. And I remember she was saying how quiet that she was. One of them, I know your baby was under you all the time, but the other two girls, they were a little more independent, but always well behaved in the church. And,
so they were what we call pew babies. They were born in, so they didn't really have a choice. They was raised in a church, so we were from old school church, so they God blessed them to be baptized young. Tierra was baptized she received the Holy Ghost at 4. I think she didn't get baptized until she got 9 or 10 because she was afraid of the water. And Tatiana got baptized at 4 and received the Holy Ghost, I believe, at 6. So God bless them to receive salvation at a young age, and Crystal also. So God has truly blessed our girls when it comes to salvation. And each of them have their own testimony and things that God has done for them in their life. And they have a story to tell. They each have their own individual ministry that God is doing in their lives.
That's what she was telling me. I saw the pictures of them on Facebook, and beautiful girls, and it's just a blessing, when our kids, the Bible says raise them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And it kind of unnerves us when they seemingly walk away from God, but God is faithful, and he always, his word is true. His word is true. So that's just a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we as parents have to recognize that we can pray for our children and we can raise them even when it comes to education, but they have to want it. Just like in the Old Testament, when the children in the Jewish custom, I believe, reach the age of 12 or 13, it goes through the bar mitzvah because they reach the age of accountability. They have to want it. And if they have it in them, and I believe that, I tell them, I didn't birth one of mine, whether birthed or adopted, for the devil to have them. So, God, when we put it out there, they coming back. Eventually, they got to come back because I've already decreed it. So they can go and they want to do and try what they want to try. And when Tierra said, well, God just still convicted me, that's because the prayers had already been prayed. And God still had his hand on her. And, we be in warfare when they don't realize we're still in warfare. You can go out and party and dance and do what you want to do and don't think we don't know about it. Just because, kids think because we don't say anything that we don't know what's going on. As you get older, you can always say something because we have a tendency when we say something, we push our children further away. So even as pastors and saints of God, sometimes we just have to be quiet and just put it in God's hand and let him work it out. Because they have to have their own testimony. The Bible says that they overcame by the word of their testimony. So if they can't make it to heaven on ours, so it's by them overcoming by the blood of the Lamb that they're able to stand. Some of the children that have wealth, or anything today because somebody always bailing them out of jail. Somebody
right.
always making a way for them. So they have to have their own testimony. And I praise God because God has put something on, down on the inside of Tierra and my other daughters that they don't have to come running to us because they understand that the same Holy Ghost that works on the inside of me and their father, it works on the inside of them. And that's what the people of God needs to understand. Whether you are PK or you're a member of the church, a lay member, we're under the new covenant. We're under the better covenant. You don't have to wait to get to the church. You can go into your secret closet, and you could pray to God for yourself. You can enter the holies of holies through prayer and worship, and God can meet you where you're at, and you can get a breakthrough if you're living right, and God can send you your healing. You don't have to wait to get to the church. And that's something that we have, you know, we have to come to the revelation of, because so often growing up in the church, and depending on where you're coming at, we was always, the scripture would be told that you are touch not my anointed. And we have to come to the revelation that, wait a minute, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm on the good trail, I'm the anointed of God too. You know,
amen.
And sometimes we have to begin to recognize that we are also the high priest. You know, we're called. We're the royal priesthood. And we got to recognize the anointing that on the inside of us so we can begin to take control of our own situation. And a lot of times we as saints of God, we don't realize that we have the dunamos on the inside of us. We have the authority to speak those things that be not as though they were. We can take control of our environment. Now, things may not change, but God can change us in the midst of it. Just like he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They said even if he does not deliver us out of this furnace, he is still able.
Yes. 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 Amen. That's what we have to teach our kids. We have to. We as parents, like you said, sometimes we wanna help God, and God has told me on numerous occasions, just recently, that I have this. You rest, because I have this. We have to learn how to do that. So I'm just so I miss you guys. Just talking to you, I miss seeing you guys, your mom, and the girls. And I follow you on Facebook, so we're friends, and so I know about the different challenges. And I was just reading a post. You just started a. You're of course a pastor, and wait, before we get started, just let the audience know who. Pastor Sister Patricia Holiday is, and tell us about your wonderful husband and about your church and where you're located. And we have some callers from your area, so tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. My maiden name is Willis, so I'm raised up from the Patricia and Willis Holiday. Raised up on the west side of Chicago, K-Town area. I've been married for 28 years to Robert Holiday, Robert Romante Holiday. Got to keep the R in it because he's the third Robert. I've been blessed by the Lord to be saved for 30 years. Been married for 28 years. We have three beautiful daughters, Tatiana, Tierra, and Crystal. I have a handsome son-in-law who's in the Navy, Christopher. Two beautiful grandchildren, Angelina and Anaya, who I would not give back for the world. I am a school teacher. I'm a counselor right now by trade. God has blessed me to. Our church has been open for 14 years. Faith Deliverance Temple Ministries, located at 5849 West North Avenue on the northwest side of Chicago, where my husband. Overseer Robert R. Holiday is the senior pastor, and I serve with him as pastor. I am an employee of Chicago Public Schools, where I serve as school counselor. I'm a national board certified counselor. My ministry, my individual ministry, is Turning Pain into Power, which has been established since 2009. And that was birthed out of my own personal experience as being a survivor of incest. I wrote my first book in 2003, which is called Turning Pain into Power, and I incorporated the ministry in 2009. I've written about 11 books. Three are spiritual-based. The second one that's spiritual-based is called Restoration, A Journey from Ichabod to Praise. The third one that I wrote, which was written in 2011, and this one is a continuation of Turning Pain into Power. And this one was birthed out of me going through a diagnosis when they thought I had kidney cancer. I have a complex cyst that they thought had turned into cancer, so I had my second scare of cancer. And this one is called Reach Beyond the Break and Hold On. What's unique about what we're going through with Tierra is, and you probably saw this on Facebook, is that when I was pregnant with Tierra, I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. They thought I had cervical cancer when I was pregnant with her, and they did a biopsy. And I was told that, depending on what was going on, that they would have to abort the pregnancy. And I'm like, the devil is a liar. We was going through a church that taught faith. Our pastor came out of Bethlehem Healing Temple, the late Bishop D.L. Thompson, and he asked me when I came to the Friday night deliverance service, he said, what do you believe? I said, I don't have cancer. So I was blessed to carry her full term, went back 6 weeks later. They did a procedure and came back, and they said, well, we got all of it, but it can come back in 5 years. And I just told them to they did surgery and got rid of the organ. You know, so what she's going through is like it's a flashback, you know, because I went through this when I was pregnant with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so but it's different when you go through something than when your child goes through something. You know, and it's similar, but it's different because now they're coming back saying that hers are actually cancer cells. Mine was severe dysplasia. And, you know, 27 years ago, they don't have the technology that they have now. Now, Robert was at the hospital with her, and I've been through quite a few surgeries. And he said, you know what, it's something else to be waiting for your wife. You know, when you're waiting for your wife to come out of surgery, he said, but as a parent, to be out there waiting for your child to come out of surgery, he said, now that's different. And I was with her the first when she had the emergency surgery. You know, so it's like it's a different paradigm. So I'm having faith for her because, you know, I have to have faith. And I walk by, you know, we walk by faith and we walk not by sight. So the book that I wrote, Reach Beyond the Break and Hold On, is just, you know, whatever you're going through, you got to tie a knot at the end of the rope and you got to hold on. You got to have, if it's a faith that's a grain of a mustard seed, you got to hold on. So my books, and I've got educational-based book or poetry books, but everything that I do, even my job, is based on me, my life itself, and is based on, I have my own affliction, so my own things that I go through. And I didn't understand when I had my first child out of wedlock. I got pregnant when I was away at college. And I was in prayer, and God told me at 18 that I was going to have a gift of healing. Now, I didn't pray and ask for the gift of healing. And people don't understand when they see people flowing in certain areas and flowing in deliverance and doing different things, they don't understand the cost of the suffering or the things that people go through to get those type of anointings. So God spoke that to me when I was 19. Now, I didn't ask for it, and I didn't understand the cost that would go with that gift. But one thing I learned a lot being under Bishop Ellis. A lot of things are just afflictions. He said, these are afflictions. Now, some things are just afflictions that you have to go through. Now, some things are sickness, but then there are some things that you got to understand. You got to have faith. Because had I stayed at a church that I grew up in that taught against the Holy Ghost, said that all the things that was done in the Bible, they happened, and they when the apostle died, they no longer happened, I would be dead now based on the teaching that I received before I got saved in Holy Ghost still at the age of 17. But I thank God for grace and for knowledge and coming into the revelation that he's still the same today as he was yesterday, and he is forevermore. Yes. So that I am still here because of the gifts and the anointings that he implanted, that he left deposited on the earth, that I can benefited from.
Right.
And I can I walk and exercise in them.
Yes. We just, I'm telling you, just just sitting under a pastor, people think that they can just, you know, sit at home and look at a broadcast, but I think the benefit of being in the house, the Bible says, forsaking not the assemblies of ourselves, as some have done, but I think that having that relationship and testimonies, hearing the testimonies of the saints, helps us to know that God is still doing the things that some say that he's not doing anymore. So I just thank God for that. Well, Sister Pat, Pastor Pat, give us a little of your testimony. I know you've been testifying the whole time, and that's what I say when we start talking and we're telling about the different things that have happened in our lives and the things that we believe. That we're not saying, I thank and praise God for this, but, you know, we are giving testimony. We are giving testimony. I told Tierra, she said she was a little nervous. She didn't sound nervous when she was talking, but we just here because we want the people to know, like you said, that God is the same yesterday, today, and he shall forever be the same. So that means that he's still healing, he's still delivering, he's still bringing us out of various situations, sicknesses in our body, and we go through and don't stop where you are, because you could have stopped, like you said, you could have stopped, and you might not even be here at this time, but God and the teaching that you've received. So give us a little more. We have about 30 more minutes on air. We have time that we go off the air in about 30 minutes, but we still have time to just talk. I'm just, you know, so thankful that you guys decided that you would come on and give your testimony, because that's what we're here for. We just love God. We love God's people, and we love to hear the things that God is doing. We just had, last month, we had three, they're ministers. We're all ministers. We use that term like it's a, you know, like we're not all ministers, but that's what we're here for, to minister to the people, not just to God's people, but to the people. And we had three powerful testimonies last month. Five, actually, but of how God delivered and brought these three people out of drugs and selling drugs and prostitution. And our stories are not all the same, but God is still the same, and he still delivers us where we are, the things that we need him to do. That's why he said that I am whatever you need me to be. So go on, Pat, I'm just talking. Go on.
Okay. As I mentioned that I'm an incest survivor from the age of 13 to 17. I was a victim of incest. This is one of the areas that is taboo, regardless of what race you are. It's something that we don't like to talk about. You don't want to tell anyone about it. And I didn't expose it until 2003 when I wrote my book. And my mom didn't find out until we opened a church. And I taught my first Sunday school lesson was turning pain into power from Acts, the first chapter. Because you have this fear, I don't want to tell because I don't want to be the one that destroys the family. It's going to cause problems. And when my book hit, and my family members got it, oh God, I got flack. And my aunt didn't know. And when she found out, she called me and she went off and she figured out that it was her ex-husband. And I'm like, oh God, I'm going to ruin my relationship. But, you know, everything is fine with us. But that one, this right here, it impacted me in a whole lot of areas in my life. Because of this, because of incest, then it caused me to become sexually promiscuous. I wasn't the type that just went out and had sex with a whole bunch of different people, but it caused me to have problems even as I grew up and I got married. And it causes issues within our marriage because of the fact I didn't heal up from that hurt. There was a pain there. There was emotional scars in the area of sexuality because of the fact that my purity was taken away. There was a power, you know, when it's not about the act, but it's about the power. So there was damage done to me that caused problem within my marriage. So I had to begin to get different books and read up on things. And God had to heal me within this area because it was causing problems. It could have destroyed my marriage. We had to go to counseling with the pastor and everything else because I didn't get healed up from this. Sometimes we think we've dealt with certain things. And we look at girls that's 12 and 13. We say, oh, she's just hot in her pants. She's just fast. We need to start thinking about what happened to a girl that's 12 and 13 or even 14 and 15 if they're out there, they get pregnant real young. Or, you know, why are they so fast? Did something happen to that child to turn them out? Because it's not natural for a child that young to be talking about sex, to be having sex. So we need to flip the script to try to figure out what happened. Did something happen to the child? Is she a victim of incest? Or maybe she did just start having sex early. But we need to begin to ask the question. The next step question is, something is not natural about this process if this child is all of a sudden talking about sex, dressing inappropriately, you know, having boyfriends, you know, all of a sudden. I looked at my pictures. In eighth grade, I was kind of chunky. I had a little fat face. And in high school, I was real thin. When I got married, I was 97 pounds. I said, somebody should have been able to tell something was going on. I looked anorexic. Why did somebody pick up this? If you looked at my pictures, somebody should have looked at my pictures and figured out something was going on. How could this person go from being chunky to being this thin? But nobody saw the warning signs. Nobody thought to ask. And after I wrote my book, one of my older cousins called me and said, he did the same thing to me. But nobody dared to speak up. So the challenge today is, who's going to be bold enough to speak up if something is going on so that somebody else don't get hurt, whether it's in the family, it's in the churches, it's in the schools. And we are so quick, as whatever denomination we are, we want to talk about the Catholic Church. But what about the other churches? What about the families? This is not just limited to one denomination or one race of people.
Right.
But we have to look for the warning signs. There are signs that you see, but we don't want to talk about it. So this is one area that I had to deal with. And it's something that if it came back up, you know, if you suffer with something, if something happened to somebody else you're close to, then it resurfaces. And this happened in our family where, you know, something happened to one of the girls and then my hurt came back up. So you can be healed from something and then something happened to somebody else and that hurt come all back up, all fresh again. And you have to go through a healing process. You know, so it's like some things, even though you're healed from it, something can cause it to resurface. And you got to go through a healing process all over again. And that's what the book Turning Pain into Power deals with. You got to deal with it. You can't just sweep it under the rug. You have to deal with whatever pain you're going through. And with this whole issue of incest, it's called emotional issues. And it all comes from me not having a father figure. My biological father wasn't around. My stepfather wasn't. He provided financially. And we had a dysfunctional home. And most girls want a father figure. So when you don't have a father figure and you're longing for one, as a young girl, you have a tendency to seek it. And sometimes you end up seeking for it in all the wrong places. And when you have a void in your life, and if you don't realize that void is God trying to pull you close to him, sometimes you end up going towards the wrong places. So we as ministers and as people in the body of Christ, we need to be able to start ministering to young people and even those who we may think they have some issues, and we see that there's a need for a mother figure, there's a need for a father figure, and there's a void that's missing. We need to start counseling them and mentoring them and let them begin to understand the difference between, okay, part of that void is because God is trying to pull you. And that was part of my void, was that God was trying to pull me closer to him. And the other way was that I didn't have a father figure. And when you're a girl and you don't have a father to validate you, to tell you that you're special, you're beautiful, you know, that I love you unconditionally, that's something they're missing. And then it impacts your ability to form a valid walk with God, because he's supposed to be your father. But then you don't have that natural father, so it's even harder for you as a person trying to develop a relationship with God to relate to that father figure. So that's something that we have to bridge the gap when we're dealing with young people, when we're trying to bring them into the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of God as being our Heavenly Father. How do we minister to them when they're coming from a dysfunctional home where there's no positive role model? That's a challenge that we have to figure out how we're going to do as the body of Christ. We can't just say pray to your father, because they're going to look at us and say, my daddy in jail. My daddy on the corner selling drugs. So we have a challenge of building up to them and showing them what a father is supposed to do. And that may take on some of the men in the church, showing them what a father is like. So I'm an educator, so I'm going social, economical, and spiritual. But we can't get them to see the spiritual side if we don't let them see the natural side.
Absolutely, absolutely. I say the same thing. We are so quick to talk about somebody without really allowing our spiritual discernment to let us know that something is happening here. You know, like you said, someone should have known that from your wedding pictures, you know, the drastic change in your body, that something, you know, something's happening. Either you're happy. A lot of times we don't like to talk. We don't like to talk about things. We don't like to. We feel like we might find out something that we don't know how to handle. I don't know. It's we do have to, as a body, be more sensitive to the plight of other people. We in this society have become so self-conscious. We're so just in, you know, not in this time, but it's even more now, I think, that we decide that, you know, my four and no more. You know, we're thinking about us, we're thinking about our kids, we're thinking about, you know, but we're not, that's not what we're here for. We're here to be used of God and to bring his kingdom to light so that the world can see, you know, the God that we serve and what he wants us to do. And go on, I just wanted to interject that.
Yeah. And also with me, I have, like I said, ongoing, like, health issues. And a lot of times we don't have the answers. So when we're going through constant health battles, and they feel that a lot of times they, until you get an answer, they feel like they're unto death. I've been in like 6 car accidents, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm still walking around.
Wow.
I have a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. One of the car accidents, I was had symptoms of paralysis on my right side where I couldn't raise my hand up over my head. I couldn't hardly turn my neck, and my right leg was dragging. And Bishop D.L., we were at the church one Sunday evening service, and Bishop D.L. looked at my husband and said, can I walk on your wife's back? He must have been close to 300 pounds. But the God would use him, and the heat would be on his feet, in his feet. The noise would be in his feet. And he walked on my back. And it's like something, God used him. And after he did that, it's like I got a healing. So that part of that affliction, I haven't had that issue again. Now, I still have some issue, but as far as me not being able to lift my hands up and do certain things, so it's like God gave me a healing where I was able to function. So I just like I had lost the use of my right side of my body. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and asthma within a year apart. And even when we were at Morgan Park together, the asthma was so bad. One Sunday I had to go to the church to the hospital for because of an asthma attack. In 2007. My immune system started to, like, just go crazy, and I developed allergies to some of everything. And I felt like I really was going to die because everything I ate, I was having allergic reaction. I was yellow dye, red dye, chocolate, seafood. And, you know, it felt like I was going to get up out of here. And I had to, and, you know, I couldn't breathe. And, you know, I was on prednisone for I don't know how long. We couldn't figure out what was going on. So now it's like I can't eat. I carry my EpiPens around. I carry Benadryl around, and I have to read my labels. I can't use any detergent with dyes. You know, so it's like you have to become smart. And sometimes it's just like I have hypertension. We have to know when, you know, people say, well, I know God is a healer, but until he manifested, I believe it. But until the manifestation comes, I'm going to do what the doctor says because God works through doctors. So I figure out what they told me I was allergic to, then as my daughter told me, Mom, you have messed me up because you have desensitized me because I have to do certain stuff in my house to make sure that I'm taking care of my body because my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, then I can't operate the way I'm supposed to. And 2007, 2008, 2009, I had what they thought was strokes. So
what,
every
what?
Stroke.
I didn't hear that.
I had strokes.
Oh, stroke.
TV.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But it ended up, they said that I have complex migraines that mimic strokes. So when I have a migraine attack, I have to watch what I do because my right side goes up. So from last year, they was totally out of control. And you saw this was the post you saw on my Turn the Pain into Power Facebook page when I said, from the brink of darkness, he has bought me. Because I sat in the house. I went to work and I came home and I sat in darkness because my migraines was out of control. Everything was setting me off. My husband, cologne, I told you I had to throw it away. Because I figured out for 6 months I couldn't get my asthma, my migraines under control because he had bought some colognes that had something I was allergic to. And so I had to figure out why I can't get it under control. So I would come home and sit in the dark. I had the windows up in the house. Because I can't, you know, couldn't breathe. But I literally was in darkness. And I ended up getting depressed because I'm like, God, what in the world is going on? And I couldn't get to church. And that's why people, when you were saying that people need to go to assemble themselves together, you need to go to church while you're healthy. Now, I understand why the mothers used to say when we were growing up, you need to stockpile prayers. Now, I understand that because I have so many health issues, because it's a time going to come. And maybe some people haven't hit it yet, but there will be a time to come when you can't pray. So you better have something on the shelf.
Right.
Because if you get sick enough, you can't pray. You can't do nothing but moan. But if you got your prayer and your worship together, you got something that can sustain you. But if you don't have a prayer life or worship life already together, you're going to be messed up. So what's going to happen when you hit that rock bottom and you can't pull yourself out? So I praise God because I was at home. My husband, because when we were able to come out of church, I'm like, I can't stand the music. The drums gave me a headache. So, like, I'm excited because I've been at church for, like, February to now. I've been going to church basically every Sunday. I'm excited. I hadn't been able to get to church. And I didn't preach really last year because I had surgery last year. And so I had to preach three Sundays. Robert got real sick, and he couldn't preach. And so I preached three out of four Sundays. And I'm back at church. I'm like, man, this feels good. I had a migraine last week. He looked at me and said, are you going to be able to do it? I said, this is my assignment. You can't breathe. I got to do this. You know, so I came home and popped my migraine medication, but I preached. And my message was, don't count me out. Because so many times, and I heard you tell Tierra, sometimes people count you out. And the subtext was God is in control. You got to have your mind made up that I may be down right now. And sometimes you got to preach to yourself, don't count me out. It's not over. I may not have everything I want, but don't count me out. You know what? You may be on 9, but I'm getting up again. I'm getting up. I may have to crawl and hold on to something, but I'm getting back up. It's not over yet. And that's what something we got to have on the inside of us. We got to have some tenacity. We have to be willing to fight. We got, you know what? I don't know. It's something about, we said these new breed of children, and I don't know, and all you don't want to put cap with Generation X or the new church, whatever. I'm old school. You got to be willing to fight for it. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your children. Stop giving up so easy. You know, you can't just throw in the towel. Somebody's sick. You got to be there standing in the gap. Pray for them.
Yeah.
Carry them. You know,
yes.
We don't give up. You know, you just can't give up on anything. If you want it bad enough, fight for it. I didn't get my first degree till I got 35. Now, my kids tell me now I got 5. I don't have 5. I got a bachelor's degree at 35, and I got 2 masters since then. But I was born in a house in Mississippi. My mother didn't have a high school diploma. I grew up on the west side of Chicago. A whole bunch of people counted me out. I graduated from Whitney Young High School. I wasn't the one that thought I would get a bachelor's degree. I was just a girl from K-Town. I went from the South Side. But I went to high school with Michelle Obama. I sang in the choir with her. Most people wouldn't know that. And I don't go around bragging about my degrees. If you talk to me, I sound country. You wouldn't even know I have them. My kids and my husband talk about them more than I do. Because it's an accomplishment. It's part of who I am. But it's for God's glory.
Yeah.
I needed to do my job. But I would let the kids know, just because you grow up in a certain place or you born into a specific situation, that does not mean who you are, because God has something greater.
Yeah.
Just, you do not become a statistic. I was born a statistic. By right, I had my first child out of wedlock, so that made me a statistic. But I broke the mold because I'm not a statistic. I'm not on welfare. I have multiple college degrees, so you still don't have to fit the mold based on what some sociologists say because you're an unwed mother. I'm a living witness. You don't have to be that. You can still become somebody.
Through the power of God.
Yes.
And your determination, yes.
Determination.
Yes.
And the power of God.
Yes.
I was a C average student in high school with an average ACT score. An average student, an average ACT score. So I want to talk to the average student with the average ACT score. And even if you're a below average student and you got some determination and you got faith in God, you can still do it.
I often think about when I hear them talking about giving money to the kids that have excelled in school. And I always think, well, what about the ones, like I was like you, an average student, what about the ones that are just average but have that determination? I know my husband's nephew graduated from college, and he said that he would have to read, I think that was, wasn't it, honey? He would have to read the assignment or read the lesson over and over and over and over again so that he could get it. Wasn't that Sean's testimony too?
I believe that was Sean.
Yeah, and what about them? What about those ones that are not excelling in school but have determined that they're going to do it? I think that we
The thing is that if they have scholarship for you based on your race. Now you messed up. If your parents make half of this money like we do, you ain't got a whole bunch. We got to pay. You have to pay, and you know you get in trouble. You mess up. You can't lie to get no extra financial aid. You go to jail for that. So you just got to be ready to pay. But they do have scholarships under. For based on your nationality, some of the councils offer scholarships. I got a scholarship to the Illinois District Council when I went back to school. So some of the religious organizations offer scholarships. Johnson & Johnson have scholarships. So you have to do some research, and they're not just geared towards your students that's excelling. They're geared towards some of your average students with potentials. So you have to do research and dig for them. So you got some black corporations that offer scholarships. And they have scholarships for students with disabilities. So you have to, you know, you got to kind of dig for them and find, you know, find different places that offers the scholarships. And go to the financial aid office where you go to school at. And reach out to the NAACP and some of the other black, you know, organization and some of the fraternities and things. And you got to network. Sometimes you got to network to see who, you know, with people to see who they know that know somebody that's offering something.
Yeah, you have to do diligence. You can't. You just can't sit back and.
You can't sit back and do it. And you gotta do what you gotta do to keep this grade point average up, and work. You know, but you can go. You can get now. It used to be you can do ROTC for 2 years without a commitment and get your tuition paid.
Okay,
it's on that third year.
Let me say this before you go on. We're getting ready to go off air, but if you stay on the line and you want to give a testimony, just stay on the line, and I will open the line up so that you can give your testimony or ask your question to Sierra or Pastor Pat. So just stay on the line, and I will get to you. We've had 12 callers on the line today, praise God, and we just want to give them a chance to, if they have a question, to ask a question. If they have a testimony, we're still going to take testimonies also. So go on, Pat. I just wanted to say that before we go off the air.
No, and I just want to say that they can, with as far as the financial aid, keep the grade point average up. It's so important as college student in order to be successful. Don't give up. Keep your GPA grade point average up and keep working hard. You know, don't give in. Don't become frustrated. If it's too high where you're at, it's better to transfer to a junior college than to mess up your grade point average and lose your financial aid. But under no circumstance, do not give up, because you have in you the ability to be successful. You have in you the ability to fulfill your dreams.
Yes.
God has put it in you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. My mother told me that from a little girl. And she would sit at the kitchen table and say, baby, I can't help you, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And she instilled that in me, and I instilled it in my children, to all the grandchildren that came up. I was the first child to graduate out of our family, and we got a huge family with college degrees. And now we got Monique has 2 degrees, Crystal's graduating, I got cousins graduating, and we migrated to Chicago in 68, in 67. And we have from people born in Mississippi. My children are first-generation Chicagoans. So God has put in us, and he has put in all of us, the ability to succeed. It's just up to each one of us to tap into it, because God has destined us for greatness. And don't let anybody tell you ever that what you can't do. You got to have a yes, I can on the inside of you and hold fast to God on his word and have faith in yourself and faith in your God, and you can do all things through him. I believe it with everything in me.
Yes. We can. That's something that as parents we have to, even if you don't have an education, that you have to instill. We always want our children to do better than what we've done, and sometimes we're a good example and sometimes we're a bad example. Sometimes we tell our kids, you know, we call our kids stupid, or, you know, you just like your daddy, or you just like your mama, and, you know, call them all kind of names. And excuse me, God wants us to be encouraging our children and let them know our lives are, the Bible says that we are written epistles, read of men. So the life that we live is a life that has to point people to God in our sickness, in our mountaintop experiences, in just the things that we go through. We always have to allow people to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay,
yes.
He is our hope, and there's nothing too hard for God. That's one of my. There is nothing Evangelist Sandra Riley. That's her saying, no thing. She didn't say nothing. She said, no thing. There's nothing too hard for God. No sickness, no lifestyle. There is nothing that God cannot turn around. And Pastor Pat, you are a perfect example. You and Tierra are a perfect example of what God can do in a person's life. Even when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, even when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, God can take us to the place where he can get the glory out of our lives. And then we're able to, you know, say, no, I didn't do this right, but you can do it right because God brought me back to the place where he wanted me to be. But he can keep you in that place. You don't have to do the things that I did. You don't have to live the life that I lived, you know, but God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just thank God. Thank God for you calling in. I'm not cutting you off. We still have time. So you want to continue on. I was telling Tierra, I don't know if you were on, we've had so many wonderful testimonies. Oh, my God, we've had testimonies of people dying and being raised back up. And Bishop Corinthus Patterson, I know you know who that is, fell through his roof into his bathroom, and how God miraculously brought him back to a place where he can walk. And we've had drug people that were on drugs, selling drugs, prostitution. We've had a double lung transplant recipient. Oh, my God, we just have had some awesome, awesome testimonies, and that's what we're here for, to give God the glory. It is, to give God the glory and to give him the honor that's due his name, and to let people know, you know, your testimony is, you know, so vital to the kingdom. Everybody's testimony is so vital to the kingdom of what God can do. I always say, I don't want to be like the Israelites. I don't want to forget the things that you've done, you know, not only in my life, but in the lives of those around us. That's why we're here, so that people can hear, you know, what an awesome God we have and we serve and we love, and he loves us. And thank you, Jesus. So go on. Is Robert around?
No, he's not around. He's
not around. Oh, okay. I have some issues that I was going to know. I'm sure he shared it with you, some issues that I was going through before you guys left. And I was able to talk to him and got good counsel from him. And, you know, I just know that he is an awesome pastor, because he always had that pastor gifting on him, you know, in the church. I just noticed that about him. Just
before we got married, he had to call. And people missed it. They don't understand you got the call, but you got to have the commission. And sometimes people get called and just run. You know, you don't just, you know, it's a difference between them. The steps, you know. So he had the call before we got married. I knew he had a pastoral call.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. It was evident. It was evident. It was evident. You were a little quiet. You were a little quiet.
I believe, you know what, I just believe this, you know, I knew I'd stay in the background as a minister's wife. I worked the altar and everything, you know, but I stayed in the background because he was doing the armor bearing and everything. And it would never be said. I stood in the background and let him do what he needed to do. I purposely, because I sang in the choir at Grace, but when I came to Morgan Park, I had the voice singing in the choir, but I'm like, I wasn't going to sing in the choir. I wanted to develop my role as a minister.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I worked the altar and, you know, did the ministerial stuff. But I didn't want to get into the choir. My purpose there, I'm like, I need to develop my ministerial, you know, my ministry, not just get into the choir and get lost. And then I had to be careful because, you know, by my husband being armor bearers and working close with Bishop, you have to be careful what you do.
Right.
But it's a different level. It's being a minister's wife. And I've always taken it because I serve, you know, I took this serious. And I was really involved with the ministers and deacon wives. So I knew the importance of his role and being an armor bearer. And then I had taken my kids too. And I knew my role, and I wasn't going to get caught up in a whole bunch of stuff. And I was dealing with church too. So I wasn't going to get caught up in different cliques and a whole bunch of stuff. I was on a PJ film, but I was just real careful who I was under. And I'm glad I was, because I'm sure it was a whole bunch of stuff. It was quite a lot of stuff going on. I'm glad I didn't get caught up in a whole bunch of. It was just enough dealing with Bishop. You know, just in working with Bishop, you know. And so we would be the last one there, us and our kids. With them taking care of Bishop.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, I remember those days. I got left home most Sundays because I wasn't ready to go, and Al had to be there when Bishop got there, so I got left.
Yeah, we stayed at the church, so we was Westsiders.
Oh, yeah, well, no, I'm talking about, oh, yeah, we were at church from 8 o'clock to 9, 10 o'clock. Yeah, we were there all day, but sometimes Al would have to leave me so that he could be there on time to be there for Bishop, and that's a training. That's a training. We have to go through. I remember I got scolded by the Lord one time because I was not happy about the fact that God tapped me on my shoulder and said, "You better straighten up." And I said, oh, "Okay, yes, Lord, yes, Lord."
He had been doing it for so long; I was used to it.
Uh huh.
He was doing it when we got saved. Rob had been doing it already before we got there.
Uh-huh.
So when he got to Walker Park, he had been doing it for DL.
Okay. All right. Amen. Well, I'm going to open up the lines. Are you finished? Did you have some more that you wanted to?
Okay.
Were you open for taking some questions if somebody has a question or if someone needs some prayer? Because you know what? I feel like when we go through something, then we are able to minister or pray for someone because we have that compassion, you know, for that particular situation. Okay, we're going to go to our first caller, and they have been holding off for a long time, and the area code is 989, and the last four numbers. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to, but don't hang up. Just hold on, and if you don't want to say anything, then I'll just go to the next caller. And the last four numbers, 5100. Are you there?
Amen. Yes, ma'am. How are you all on this morning?
Good, ma'am. How are you doing today?
I am blessed and highly favored. This is Jasmine Jackson. I'm from Saginaw, Michigan. I just wanted to tell you, Pastor Patricia, Pastor Holiday, and my sister, Tierra, I love you guys, and I truly, truly, truly enjoyed you all's testimony. On
Thank
this
you,
morning.
Sweetie.
Truly a blessing.
Amen. Amen. And you just joined me as a Facebook friend.
Yeah, she's part of the ministry of empowerment prayer ministry with Tierra.
Yes, I did hear that. Empowerment ministry. Now, are you an evangelist?
No, ma'am, but I flow prophetically.
Amen. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Well, I would like to invite you, when you get a chance, to come on the broadcast and give your testimony. Like I said several times, we're here because we want people to know what God is still doing. We don't ever want to take lightly the things that God does for us and God does in us. We have we're under the umbrella of Evangelist Adrienne Bernard and New Destiny Ministries, and you'll see her postings on my page, They Overcame, and even on my regular Facebook page. But if you want to listen to her, she has some awesome men and women of God that come on every day. They come on every day. I just admire her for having the stamina to do that. It's one thing pastoring and having to preach on Wednesdays or whenever your Bible study is, and then preach on Sundays, all day Sundays, but to do it every day. So just hold her up in prayer, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. She doesn't always teach, but she's there faithfully every day. So we thank God for you coming on, Sister Jackson. And we're going to go to the next caller, and that is, the area code is 253, and the last four is 2139. Are you there, caller? 253,
yes,
2139.
I'm here.
Amen. Amen. And what's your name?
My name is Terry. Hi, Terry. I'm Jasmine. I'm calling from Seattle, Washington.
Amen.
And I just How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing well this morning. I just want to say thank y'all. I'm sorry, my voice is kind of cracking. I got on the call at 5 a.m. this morning because I just love Tierra. She's such a nice young lady. And Pastor Holiday, you raised a wonderful wonderful daughter, and I just want to
thank you so much.
She's awesome. She's prayed for me before, gave me some guidance, and as weird and crazy as it sounds, I know I'm older than her, but she's helped me a lot, actually. But I have to apologize because I was laying down when I was lifting, so I kind of dozed off for a minute. When I woke up, Pastor Holiday, you were speaking, and you said something that it kind of hit me, and I just need to ask for prayer for I'm always so emotional these days. I have a daughter. She's 21, and she had a baby when she was 18. And her and the father, they decided to go off and get married and try to do things right. He was Christian. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, so I'm still a baby in Christ, and her as well. He's raised in the family, a Christian family. They had their own church in my town here, and very well known family. So I guess they thought the good thing to do, the right thing to do, was to go ahead and get married, and which they did. And about 2 years ago, I guess, and it's just been going. It just went haywire. It's not working. It didn't work. They're divorcing, and but now it's they're in the process of this divorce. They've been separated. Now she's took up with some guy that I don't know where he came from, but she claims she's doing some school, and I don't get good vibes about it. And I know she's hurting and she hasn't healed and she's just, I don't know, but she's always been a good kid and I just see lots of changes and things in her. And I think, I don't know really how to handle it. Sad enough to say that the way I'm handling it is not the right way, and it's something that's pushing her further away to the point where we have lots of strife now between us, which is something that we've never had. And I just need, like, prayer and guidance, because before something happens that, you know, I just don't see this as a good situation. I know it's not a good situation. Keep me in your prayers to bring her back to the Lord and get her on the right path. That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to pray for you, but my one suggestion is to let her know that you love her unconditionally. Let her know that, you know what, Mommy love you. I will love you. I love you unconditionally, and I will always be here for you. Regardless of what's going on, I'm always your mother, and I'll be there for you. That's the one thing you need to, in your heart, you need to get that there, and you need to let her know that, because right now she's seeking love, because she's vulnerable. She's been hurt, and I'm going to tell you, worst kind of hurt is church hurt. So she's going through a divorce, which is a type of death and grief, and she's seeking love in the wrong place. And it's probably not the right relationship, but what she needs from you as a mother is unconditional love. So you got to give her that. You can't give her anything else, no judgment, nothing else. You got to just give her unconditional love and cover her with prayer. Because this other one is going to fall apart. And as a mother, you got to be there. You got to catch her. Yeah. But you're going to have the love environment so that there's no strife, and just let her know, I love you unconditionally.
Yes,
and I'm afraid, but that's something you're going to have to do, because we as mothers, now sometimes fathers have a problem with this, but as mothers, we have to always be there to catch our babies. We have to catch them.
Yeah.
And because, you know, we like the mother.
We need to ask the Lord also to help you to step back, and when we give things to God, we have to learn. It's hard. It's hard, especially as a mother, we give the things to God, and then we take it back. We say, Lord, I'm going to let you handle this, and then we see a place where, okay, well, I just feel like I need to say this, and like you said, that doesn't do anything but push them closer to the situation that we want them to get out of. So ask the Lord to help you, so that you can let him take control.
Okay, so I'm going to pray for you, all right?
Okay.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, oh God, for Sister Terry, God. We praise you for her heart. And God, Lord, she has a tender heart. And God, she's not only feeling the pain of herself, God, but she's overwhelmed because she feels the hurt that her child is feeling, God. God, she has the spirit of an intercessor. And she does not know quite how to handle it as being a babe in Christ, God. So, God, we ask you, first of all, that you would mend her broken heart from the hurt that she has experienced down through the years, oh, God, because she has some unhealed hurts herself, oh, God. We ask that you would go down into her past, oh, God. For, God, you are able to go into her past, and you're able to heal her past hurts, God. And, God, we ask that you would do that for her right now, God. I ask you to go back down into her years of her youth, oh, God, into her childhood, oh, God. And you, God, go down in there and you mend those hurts, oh, God, from those broken promises, oh, God, those years of hurt, God, those years of broken vows, oh, God. Heal them for her right now, oh, God. For this situation has thrown her back, oh, God, into her years where she had broken relationships, God. I ask you to heal her right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, before she can even come into her present, God, she needs you to heal her in her past, oh God. And God, I'm walking right now with her into her past, oh God. And God, I'm going into her teenage year, God, into her youth years, God. And I'm speaking healing right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. I speak it right now, oh God. And God, now I'm walking forward right now to her now, right now, God. And I ask you right now to touch and heal her right now, God. In the name of Jesus, mend her broken heart, oh God. Oh God, I ask you right now, God, to help her to step back, oh God. God, in the name name of Jesus, oh God. Mend her mouth, oh God, so she would not speak, oh God. Help her to speak only what you would have her to say, Lord Jesus. And God, I ask you right now, oh God, she has the spirit of the gap dweller, Lord Jesus. But God, she does not know how to use it, oh God. So God, I ask you to help her to have wisdom and knowledge, oh God, to have to stand in the gap for her child, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I speak it right now, oh God, that you would give her the wisdom, oh God, to stand in the gap right now, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you right now, oh God, to increase the love, oh God, to mend the gap, oh God, to mend the wedge that's coming between her and her child, oh God. And I speak it right now, Lord Jesus, God, that you're increasing the love, oh God. You're giving her spiritual backbone right now, God. She will be able to stand up to those who have wronged her child, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, she has a meek spirit, oh God. She has been a spiritual doormat, oh God. People have walked up and down her spine, oh God. But in the name of Jesus, God, I speak forth the spirit of a warrior right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I call it up right now, oh God. I speak those things that be not as though they were, oh God. That she should be able to stand strong in you, oh God. Not with a spirit of malice of vindiction, oh God. But God, she should say what you would have us to say, oh God, with the spirit of love, oh God. But it shall be with power, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to put a hedge around her daughter, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Mend that heart roll right now, God. I band up right now, oh God, huh? Every evil spirit, huh, that's trying to latch up upon her, huh? I come against every stronghold right now, huh? I plead the blood of Jesus, huh? I counsel every evil assignment right now, huh? In the name of Jesus, huh? I decree victory right now, oh God, huh? In your name right now, God, huh? And we're speaking right now, oh God, huh? That every vision that has been spoken over her daughter's life, oh God, over Terry's life, huh? It shall come to pass, huh? It has not been counseled, oh God, huh? It may be delayed, God, huh? But it shall not be tonight, oh God, and I praise you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for calling in, Sister Terry, and we'll be praying for you. We'll be keeping your daughter. What's your daughter's name?
Angel. Her name is Angel.
How do you spell that?
A-N-G-E-L.
Oh, okay. All right, that's your daughter. We will be keeping her in prayer, keeping you in prayer, and we said be encouraged because God is with you and God will guide you. And we're going to go to the next caller, and the area code is 662, and the last four numbers are 7971. Are you there, caller?
I am. Amen. My name is Jaceline Gerard. I'm calling from South Haven, Mississippi. I'm actually in the group that Tiara and Jasmine and Tiffany Tolliver started, the Empowerment Prayer Ministries. I just want to say they have, Pastor Holiday, you and your daughter have, to this morning, have been a blessing on my life. With a lot of the generational curses, a lot of things that people don't speak out against, and knowing that until you speak out against it, until you speak it into the air, then, you know, can you give it up to God? Then can you make a change and a difference? So that, to me, that was just confirmation for a lot of things, because like you said, you can feel sometimes, oh, well, it's healed. You know, I've forgiven that person. I've moved on. I've moved past it until you hear somebody else say it, and it brings up all that hurt again to know that it's not over until you say it, until you put it forth, until you bring it to life. But I love y'all. You have been a blessing, and I have enjoyed it. I've been on. I had to make sure I set my alarm so I could be up at 7 to hear. But I thank you all, and it's been a blessing.
Amen. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
It's Jaceline.
Okay, spell that for me.
J-A-S.
A-L-Y-N. Okay, Jaceline. I like that.
Thank you.
Amen. And you're part of the Empowerment Prayer Ministry.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome women. Just let God use you, and the things that God is birthing in you, even through this telephone call, just allow God to continue to. What role do you play in your church? Are you a minister? Sister Jasmine is a prophetess. What role do you play in the church?
Actually, I'm on the council for our youth department, and I'm the youth adult choir minister.
Okay, amen. So you're a minister. Amen. Sister Pastor Pat, I'm so used to calling you Pat.
I'm gonna pray for Jasmine because she threw out, but she didn't go into detail that there was a confirmation regarding generational curses. So I'm gonna pray for her because I'm sensing that within her family there's some things that has gone on that has not been spoken, and that there's some confirmation of some past hurts that came about through the phone calls. So I want to pray for you if that's okay with you.
Yes, ma'am.
That's fine.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you right now, oh God, for this child, this choir director, God, who has the awesome responsibility of directing and ushering your presence before the preacher comes forth, oh God. God, we ask you right now, oh God, to look upon her on today, oh God. And God, as she spoke, that there was a confirmation of generational curses that has been revealed, oh God. I ask you right now, oh God, that you would touch her heart, that you would heal her on today, oh God. Yeah. God, there are some things that she has not spoken about, some hurts that she's dealing with, oh God. That God, maybe she does not even have the courage that she wants to deal with right now, God. But God, I ask you right now that you would touch her heart, and you know where she's at, God. And God, you're even able to touch and heal the unspoken prayer request, oh God. God, and I ask you that you would mend her mind, mend her heart, oh God. And God, touch her in a way that you know how, Lord Jesus. God, I ask you, even as she's dealing with the choir members and she's dealing with those who will try to rebel against her and come against her to keep her from bringing forth the vision that you have given for her to bring forth, and even on the youth council, God, that you would bring forth unity as you would have it to be, oh God. And God, even as you're calling her to a higher walk in you, oh God, that you would tell her to help her to say yes, oh God. But God, I see that you have been staring with her in her spirit, Lord Jesus. But God, she's been saying, God, I don't want to do that, Lord. I'm okay where I'm at, oh God. But God, I'm asking you right now to help her to come out of her comfort zone, Lord Jesus. Help her to walk in her destiny and her purpose in you, oh God. But God, I see there's a word in her mouth that you have given her to speak, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. And God, there's a rhema word, God. There's a logos word. There's a fresh word that only she can say, oh God. That you would call her to be a word, a minister to her generation, oh God. God, I know she has been anointed to sing, oh God, but God, you have told her that you have called her to be a vessel of honor on today, oh God, to speak your word, Lord Jesus, but she's saying, I can't do it. I got too much going on, Lord God. God, I'm not worthy of to do it, oh God, but I'm asking you on today, oh God, that you would speak to her heart, oh God, that you would give her a release, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, there's something on the inside of her that has given her to say that their women are not even supposed to preach because of what she's been taught, oh God. But I'm asking you right now, Lord Jesus, you begin to deal with her, God. Deal with her spirit, oh God, for there's a vision and dreams that you've shown her, oh God. And I thank you right now for bringing them to pass, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you right now for doing exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for calling in. And we're going to go to the next caller. And the area code is 217. And the last four, 9452. Are you there, caller?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Melody.
This is Melody. How are you? Happy
birthday. I'm doing good. Doing good.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd just like to say I have enjoyed the testimonies this morning. And I was going to say, this morning, I thank the Lord for allowing me to see 53 years today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 6 months ago, I was forced to move out of my home and relocate. And I can say today, you know, that the Lord is still good. I'm still going through, but he's still blessing. We have a roof over our head. Some things that I went through in Chicago, I don't have to worry about that now. I don't know if you saw my Facebook page where I had put, it was so nice to be able to take a real shower with some hot water, because my dad at times would decide to cut the hot water off, just, you know, for no reason, just to get back at me for whatever reasons. And so I'm just so grateful to be able to, nobody knows what it feels like to have to take a bath and have no hot water, or, you know, your landlord is playing with the water. And so I'm just grateful. And today I still don't have a relationship with my dad. He does not talk to none of his children still. And so I'm just asking, you know, that the Lord would mend that relationship. He's 80 years old, and he says he knows the Lord, but he's doing everything opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, I just, you know, continue to lift him up in prayer. So I don't have a whole lot else to say this morning.
What's Dad's name?
Arthur.
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 This is the sister from Morgan Park. I don't know if you guys know each other.
She's my Facebook friend.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Melody Norman Larkin.
Yeah, I know her name.
Okay.
You want to pray for her? You want to pray for her?
Yeah, I pray for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for Melody, oh God. God, we thank you that you have blessed her to come out of her situation that she's in and bringing her to a better place, oh God. God, you see what she's there right now in her desire for you to mend her relationship, oh God. God, we know that you are able to do it, oh God. And God, we ask that you would get into the heart of her father, oh God, that you would touch his heart, oh God. And that you would do what you need to do, oh God. And God, and we ask you, oh God, that you would work a work that only you can, God. Well, however, God, we ask you, God, that if he chooses not to, that you would help her, oh God, to accept whatever your will is, Lord Jesus. God, we know that it's all of our desire to have a relationship with our Father, Lord Jesus. Well, God, we cannot control the decisions, I can, but God, we ask that you would do what is best for her on today, Lord Jesus. We see I hear the hurt that's in her heart, Lord Jesus. God, I ask you that you will mend her hurt today, God. I ask you that you will meet the needs inside her needs, oh God. Loose finances, God. Loose love on today, Lord Jesus. God, I ask you right now to do it for her on today, oh God. Open up a door that no man can shed on today, oh God. Touch and heal her body on today, Lord Jesus. God, I ask you to do more than she can even ask or think on today, oh God. I ask you to give love for veil on today, oh God. And God, we thank you right now for another year that you have blessed her to live on this earth, oh God. God, we thank you right now for letting her ladder be better than her former, oh God. Oh God, we faint not, oh God. And God, we ask you to let her reap, oh God, for the things that she's torn out, things that she has given down through the year, oh God, that you will let her reap, oh God. Give her increase, oh God. I speak increase into her life, oh God. Oh God, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, renew her mind on today, God. Renew her on today, God. Renew her love on today, oh God. Don't let her love wax cold on today, Lord Jesus. But God, she's giving out so much, oh God, and she's getting tired and she's getting weary, oh God. But God, you said that we will reap if we faint not, oh God. God, to let her give out, oh God. But God, she's just about to enter into her reaping season, oh God. And we thank you right now, oh God, for lifting up out down here, oh God. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for doing it for her right now, oh God. For God, I see her future is bright, oh God, that there's a brighter day for her on today, oh God. And we thank you right now, for I decree this year of 53, that you're going to release some new things for her, Lord. New property, oh God. New clothes, oh God. New jobs, oh God. New furniture, oh God. A fresh anointing, oh God. Fresh vision, oh God, fresh words on this year, oh God. And I praise you for doing it right now, Lord Jesus.
Thank
have
God.
It
household, oh God. Wisdom right now, God. I decree it right now, God. More knowledge of your word, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God. She has not been forgotten, oh God. She has not been forgotten, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in today, Melanie. And you have a blessed birthday today.
Oh, I will. I will.
Amen. Amen. The next caller, we're going to go to the next caller. And our next caller, the area code is 916. And the last four numbers are 5442. Are you there, caller?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sister T, I'm from New Destiny Ministry, Time of Reflection. I'm calling from Oakland, California.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
How are you today? Thank you
I'm
for
blessed.
Getting up so early in the morning to be on the call.
Actually,
with us.
It was a blessing because I've been having trouble sleeping, so I was actually woke.
Okay.
I thank God because God led me to call this morning. This is my first time calling. I've been knowing about it. It's my first time calling. But I know God wanted me to hear what was taking place over the airways today because I really believe it was for me. I started on hearing part of what the young lady, her name is Tierra. My name is Tier. So I started out hearing what she was saying. You know, she was talking about her life and what she had been through. And then when her mom came on, it really kind of confirmed it for me, the reason why God had me call this morning. And I thank God because I've had a lot of traumatic things happen in the last 3 years, and God is helping me overcome them. And they even my pastor, he gave me a evangelist license a few weeks ago, and ever since then it seems like I've been under this attack. About a year ago, I was homeless, living in Stockton, California, and I was raped, and I hadn't really dealt with it because I was dealing with, you know, a divorce, a whole bunch of different things, and then the death of my father, so. I didn't really deal with this rape issue. So it was April 29th of last year. So, you know, we just had that date on Monday. So I noticed I went to church on Wednesday, and then the attack came on Thursday where I just couldn't even get out of my bed because I start reliving what happened to me. You know, so when she was talking about the working through your pain, you know, with the power, I was like, I thank God for her saying that. And the things that were said, I know they were for me. I knew it was for me because I believe you had to deal with, you know, the breakup of a marriage from somebody who, for many years being in the ministry, and to lose everything and to have to start over and then my father dies, and then the rape, and still even the things that I deal with even now. And I know that I'm a survivor in Christ. I know that I'm one of those people that God is wants me out to tell people about what happened with me and how He brought me from off the concrete. And you know, I just thank God for what He's doing. I'm thanking God that He gave me a mind to even call today.
Yeah.
I thank these ladies for coming on today. I feel so much better going into my day. Keep the Loxon family in prayer today. We are going out to the cemetery. And for them, it'll be the third time. But for me, it'll be my first time really actually having some closure with my father's passing. So just pray my strength in the Lord that I continue to be the daughter that He called me to be. I know there's a heavy calling on my life, and I thank God for the ministry. So I have to start calling in on Saturdays to get more of this good word. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Pastor, do you want to pray for her, please?
I sure will. I need to know if she can
email me her address and her name. I want to send her one of my books, Turning Pain into Power. If I give you my address, can you give me your address so I can send you one of my books, Turning Pain into Power?
Okay.
Okay, you can give her your email address. You can give her your email address.
Oh, I'll give her my email. It's my name. It's T, and then it's LOCKSON at yahoo.com.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this dear soul who is called in, oh God. And God, we praise you right now for everything that she's been through in the last 3 years. And God, we bless you right now for calling in on today, oh God. And for everything that she has that has been taken away from her, oh God. We decree on today, oh God, that you're going to recover, that she shall recover all, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Breathe hard on today, oh God. As she prepares to go to the cemetery for the first time, God, we ask that you would strengthen and that you will uphold her, oh God, that you would comfort her heart on today, oh God. God, we ask that she's going through this healing process and she's recovering from this rape, oh God, because it's still fresh, Lord Jesus. She has not dealt with it. God, that you would touch and you would take control of her, and you would heal her emotions, oh God, because God is not minister fully until she has dealt with this pain, oh God. So God, I ask you to out into her heart, into her emotions, God, and that you would heal her, God. But first of all, go into her mind. Take control of her mind and give her peace, oh God. But God, this is not her fault, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I decree right now peace and smile, oh God. God, I ask you right now to heal her heart, oh God. Heal the broken heart, divorce, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, she don't understand exactly what she did wrong to even to deserve it, oh God. After all that she has invested and she has poured into and that she has given out, oh God, we ask that you would heal right now, oh God. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for blessing her finances, blessing her home, oh God, blessing her with more jobs, more finances, oh God. And God, for her pastor saying something in her, oh God, that you have deposited a great anointing on this vessel, oh God, that she shall use for your kingdom, oh God. And God, we decree right now, oh God, that the vision and purpose that you've spoken on her life, it shall come to pass, oh God. And we ask you to give her the wisdom, the knowledge, the temperament, oh God, to deal with the women and the men that she will have to come into contact with, oh God. That as she turned her pain into power, oh God, she will be able to invest and begin to help others, oh God, to come up out of the gut, oh God. She will be able to relation, oh God. To help them to understand that God has not forgotten about them, oh God. And we praise you right now, oh God, for doing a mighty work, oh God. And we praise you for doing it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you, Sister T. Thank you for calling in. And we look forward to hearing the testimony of how you have overcome the pain that you're experiencing now, because we know God is a healer and God is a restorer of things, and we thank God for you.
Thank God. Thank you. Thank you, woman of God. Thank you.
Amen. And we're going to go to the host of New Destiny Ministry, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. Are you there, Sister Bernard?
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord, Minister Billy, and to all of the listeners, and especially the speakers on today, the guests. I tell you, I've been listening the whole show, and I'm just overwhelmed, but I'm also thankful for what I've heard. And it is a testimony from the mother and the daughter to all people to know that God is in the blessing business. When the doctors and man say no, God always ever yes, because his promises to us are yea and amen. Amen. So I'm just so thankful to be on this line today to hear those testimonies, and we're going to continue to keep the young lady in our prayers, and she's already healed in the name of Jesus. We can have whatever we say, Hallelujah. So I'm just thankful. I'm so proud and happy that Minister Burns is just going forth with this segment. We don't get for 2 hours live, and sometimes Block Talk Radio, it'll kick you off after the 2 hours. But I thank God that God came is upon this segment this morning, and the women, the young women that have come on the line have been able to express themselves. And it just does my heart good to see young women praising and magnifying and lifting up the name of Jesus. You know, our children could be out here gang banging, prostituting, old mongering, and doing all kind of damnable things. But I thank God, because it's good to say, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they get old, they won't depart. So we have to really dissect that scripture, because, for one, we just have to be patient, and we have to continue to pray for our children no matter what they're going through. When you instill that word in them, they can only go so far. Hallelujah. Yeah. We forget when we were young. We forget when we were going through. We forget when we were hard-headed and rebellious. So just let them go through those little phases, but you continue to apply the blood, continue to plead the blood, and guess what? They'll come into their own destiny in God's own, not our timing, because our time is not. So we just thank God for this segment, and thank God for all of you. Thank God for Sister T. She's been faithful. We've been on this line 17 months, and she has been faithful to our program, and we also know her personally, and she's just a blessing. She is a witness for God. So pray, Billy, that she'll be one of those that can come now for this citywide crusade, and you can meet her personally. Amen.
Amen.
So God bless you all. Thank God for Pastor Holliday and her daughter. We just praise God for them, and maybe we can get them to come on one day through the week and minister on our broadcast. God bless you all.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, we have truly been blessed. God has been glorified and honored, and the people of God have received prayer. We just, you know, that's what we're here for. I say it every week. We're here for that specific reason. We want God to be glorified, and he has been today with the testimonies that have gone forth and the ministry that has gone forth. And we just want God to have his way. We have our agenda, and we say what we're, you know, what we say that this program is supposed to be about. But we always are open to God and what he wants to have done in this ministry. And I want the listeners, I don't know if those that are on the internet, we had last month we had a sister Charlene that came on, Charlene Davis. Well, her mom called in, and she was one of the ones that was selling drugs and doing all kind of things out in the world, and God has saved her now. Her mom called in and was saying how proud she was of her, but she passed last week, and so we're just asking everyone to hold Sister Charlene Davis up before God, because she was not taking it real good, but we know God is a comforter. He promised that those that need comforting will be comforted. So we just want to thank God for you today, Pastor Pat, for coming on, and we just love you. We love the family. We love, you know, the fact that you guys are still holding on and holding up a standard for God, and we just bless God for you and the friendship that our family has developed. Tierra told me that she talks to Chris several times during the weekend. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. The boys they're all doing well. John just graduated. Well, actually, he graduated in December from UNC Chapel Hill.
Chris is trying to get back in school, but, you know, God's going to open a door for him to do that. And Tim and Mark is married and has two kids. And he has an older daughter also that has a daughter. So he's doing well. And I remember when he was going through his teenage years, I used to tell him, I don't care what you do. I don't care where you go. You belong to God, and you are going to serve him. him now, and I say God for that.
I appreciate you for having us on, and thank you all your encouragement of with Tiara. It's really appreciated.
Oh yeah, we just, you know, let's stay close. Sometimes when we move, when we're not in the same area, we have a tendency. A lot of people don't like Facebook, and we're getting ready to get off. But I like Facebook. I don't like all of the stuff that I see on Facebook. I don't agree with everything that I see on Facebook. But it has allowed me to connect with, you know, friends and family members that I would not connect with because I'm not a big telephone person. I talk on the phone sometimes, but just to call somebody, say I'm going to call somebody, but if I see somebody on Facebook, I can connect with them and say, hi, how you doing, how's the family, and, you know, see what's going on in their life. So for that reason, I like Facebook.
I use it more for that, and then just it's still for getting ministry stuff out, you know, encouraging
exactly.
Work like that. Reconnecting for class reunions. We use that for 30th reunion. For all the other messy stuff, I guess handful.
Yeah.
He said, you was real quiet in Morgan Park. That was on purpose because I wasn't trying to get caught up in a whole bunch of.
Yeah.
That's why I'm quiet, you know, with certain things. You have to choose, you know, choose who you with, and you have to be selective in the area, and people don't understand that. Technology is forever. So, for what you post, what you do, because, you know, it's forever, so.
It is, and a lot of people don't even realize. My husband was saying that he works with employment security, and he was saying that he's had, you know, callers to call in that are trying to get their benefits, and one guy called in. He had posted something which was innocent posting, but it was taken as something else, and so he was fired from his job. So you have to be careful what you put on Facebook. You have to be real selective about the things that you put. As a matter of fact, they use that when they're hiring people, you know, give me the password to your Facebook page so that we can see, you know, just what your life is about. So we have to be careful with that. And then as saints of God, we need to be mindful of the things that we're posting also, little jokes. And it's, I always say that we'll see a like for something or we'll share something that is not beneficial, but then we won't like or share something that is. So
right.
Anyway, thank you for coming on, Pat. I'm so happy to talk to you and connect with you. And, honey, you want to end us with prayer? Oh, wait, let me turn your mic on. Did you want to say something, Pat? Okay. All righty. Honey, you want to end us with prayer?
Amen. I sure will. We just thank you, Lord, for this day. And, Lord, there's just not much left to be said except amen, 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 amen to your goodness, amen to your faithfulness, amen to your healing power, amen to your healing, hallelujah, because you have just demonstrated through the words of the testimony today that there is hope in you, and we just pray that as listeners even continue to remember the words of this broadcast and to listen in to the archives and hear this even in the future, that those words of healing and the spirit of healing will just work in them, whatever their situation is, to deliver them, Lord God, right where they are, that they too will be blessed to come into and be blessed in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, bless every those who testify, Lord God. Just continue to heal and deliver and just prosper greatly. Hallelujah. Bountifully. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 God bless you all.
God bless you. God bless you. And until next week, we say, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And we just want to praise you. Remember, you can go back into the archives and you can listen to any of the broadcasts, New Destiny Ministries, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard is the host. And if you put her name, you'll be able to go directly to her segments. New Destiny Ministries, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard, and then, of course, you can listen to They Overcame. It will be in the listing also. And until next week, we just want to praise you.
I just want to praise
forever, come on.
Blessing
day.